never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let.
How's everybody tonight? Everybody doing good? We're going to tape tonight because for the podcast reasons, guys. And so I want to say thank you for coming out. Everybody has weathered the storm. It was pretty interesting, wasn't it? I mean, it's funny to me how quickly people panic when we don't have power for a few hours, right? It's kind of interesting. We saw kids going through town that looked homeless and they were having withdrawal symptoms, right, from their games, right? And we saw people, Allison said that for the first time Home Hardware opened up on Sunday, Tim and his wife went in, and the people were panicking, saying, we need generators, we need Coleman stoves, we need... And so people were going nuts. But anyway, we're glad that the power is back on. I'm glad that you survived. Well, again, Sunday was one of those times where some of you probably didn't know that we were going to go ahead with it, but I was along this reasoning that we don't have power down at the Fish and Game anytime we've done a baptism, so we don't need power today. And we went ahead down there, and it's probably one of my favorite times of the year. And when I think of some of my best memories, and I'm talking of life memories, these are a few of them. There is Ella, and I have one more of her, when she was baptized, and I feel so privileged as a father, not as a pastor, but to have been able to share that moment with her when she wanted to celebrate this idea that Jesus was hers, right? And then this next one, again, my favorite moments in life. This is Elias when he said, Dad, I want to be baptized. I said, why, son? He said, because to me it's worship. And I want to worship God with all of my life. And I said, well, that's good enough. And so he did that. And then this weekend, it was kind of amazing for those who were able to come. We had a real kind of special time where Dawn and Charlie wanted to be baptized together. And Charlie was the first one, the little girl in the picture. She came to me. She came to me a month ago, a month and a half ago, and she said, Pastor Andrew, I really want to be baptized this year. And I said, well, I want to know why, Charlie. Why do you want to be baptized? And she said, because Jesus is my forever friend, and I want the world to know it. And it's amazing because Heather talks about this little girl and how bold she is with her faith at school and all those sorts of things. Well, a long time ago, Don said, you know what? He said, when Charlie gets baptized, then I'll get baptized. And he kind of said it flippantly, but little did he know that the Holy Spirit was going to work on him in the last 5 years. And when Charlie said, I'm going to get baptized, Grampy, he cried and got down on his knees and said, Charlie, a long time ago, I said that when you get baptized, that I would like to stand beside you and be baptized as well. Would you let Grampy join you that day? And she said, that'd be awesome. And so Don came down, and he was baptized as well. It was amazing. And then, of course, Ethan, who has had a crazy year, came to me and said, Andrew, he said, you know what? I've been in a dark place for a long time, and then all of a sudden the Lord has pulled me from all of those things and has given me so much more. And he said, I would love if I could share that day. And I said, Ethan, I'd be proud of you to do that. So he shared his testimony. And, of course, with Brooklyn watching, Daddy up from the top, looking weird at me because she always has this intense stare. I'm always worried that she's going to shiv me someday. She's got this weird look when she looks at me. She doesn't know what to think of me, but she kind of is used to me. She was sitting there watching her daddy make a public testimony that it was not his life anymore, that he lives for Jesus. And so the baptism is one of my favorite times. And, of course, next week we are going to go down there again at 4 o'clock and we're going to have another baptism. So if this is something that you've been thinking about or praying about and you say, man, I missed it because of the storm. No, you didn't. Maybe the Lord knew that he's been speaking to you and you too could be baptized next week. We've already got some that are going to come down and join us. But what is baptism? You know, baptism is this outward testimony of an inward change that has taken place, right? And really, what is it? It's also an act of obedience in the wishes of our Savior. So I get into these conversations all the time with different denominations. Again, I try to be out in the community, and I try to be with others who are like-minded in Christ. That we don't have to agree on everything, of course, for me to say that Jesus is our Savior. And so sometimes I like to stir that water. You guys know that. But there's some denominations that would say you must be baptized in order to be saved. Now, as Wesleyans, we're not there, and we're not there for a lot of different reasons, but one of the reasons was Jesus who set the standard himself when he was dying upon the cross. It said in Luke 23, he has a conversation with one of the thieves on the cross, and this one feller who is feeling repentant and another feller who is mocking him. All three are dying together, and the one who is feeling sorrowful for his sin, he says, we are being punished justly. For we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man beside us has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you that today you will be with me in paradise. So why do we understand biblically that you don't need to be baptized to get to heaven? Because it doesn't continue on in the story to say that Jesus took himself off the cross, took the thief off the cross. They went down to the first body of water they could find. They baptized him. Everybody had a potluck and cheered. And then they went back and were hung on the cross again. Right? Jesus says, today you're going to be with me in paradise. And so we know that baptism is not a means of salvation, but what it is, it's not this prerequisite to gain heaven, but what it is it's this beautiful testimony in obedience to our Savior who watches our lives and knows that others watch our lives as well, right? In fact, Jesus' last instruction to his followers in Matthew 28, starting to read at verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so why do we baptize? We baptize because that's Christ's wish for us. We baptize because in obedience, we want to testify to the world that it's no longer us that live, but it's Christ who lives in us. And again, this Sunday, you're going to have a chance to come down and be a part of that. We have some pictures online of the baptism that happened this past week. But today, I want to share with you kind of an exciting story about baptism. Makes sense. If we're going to have another baptism, we might as well talk about it. And this one's found in Acts chapter 8, and it's regarding Philip. And some of you will know this story very well, but I want to read it for you. Starting at verse 26, it says this. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all of the treasury of Candake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and to sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he gave orders to stop the chariot, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Now again, this is kind of one of those freaky stories in the Bible that is filled with a whole bunch of supernatural goodness that I hope excites you. Because sometimes, you know, when we talk about the supernatural and we talk about spiritual things happening, there's people in the church who sometimes get a little uncomfortable. But tonight I want to tell you that God is still speaking to his people today. And, you know, for some in the church, that makes them uncomfortable, right? It's kind of funny to me that they say, well, you know what, Pastor, I agree. I agree that God is speaking through the Word of God. And I'm going, he is, and the Word of God is timeless, and those are his love letters to you filled with all of his promises. But do you know that God is still speaking in the present to his people? And they kind of go, well, you know what, that gets a little mystical for me. I don't really like to think about that. Why in the world would you not like to think about that? We read the love letters of God to us. Why in the world wouldn't you check out the letters that he's writing today for you? The words and the hopes and the promises that he's speaking to you today. And I want to tell you tonight that God is still speaking to his people. We see it here twice in this passage where all of a sudden an angel tells Philip to change his plans, right? You can imagine, here's Philip, and all of a sudden an angel appears and says, you need to go south, boy. And he's like, whoop, whatever you say and when, now, fine. I'll go now, right? It's this amazing supernatural thing where an angel appears to him and says, you need to go south. And Jerusalem was south, but he's saying, I don't want you to go on the main road. I want you to go on the desert road. And it's amazing to me that all of a sudden, why in the world would the angel ask him to go on the desert road, on this kind of shortcut path? Why wouldn't he ask him to go on the main thruway? But you know what? That's a lesson in and of itself, and that'll preach too, although that's not my topic tonight. That sometimes God will ask you to take a different road or a harder road or not the most convenient road. But if God is asking you to take it, guess what? There's a purpose in it. And so what does Philip do? He says, okay, if God is being specific and he wants me to take the desert road, he goes down on the desert road. And on the desert road, he meets this guy who has already been to Jerusalem. And he himself is taking a shortcut. And he finds himself on the desert road as well. And it's kind of an amazing encounter. And you know what? I was thinking about this week, that if Philip had never listened to the first message of God, then guess what? The second message couldn't have came from the Spirit. What did the Spirit say secondly? He said, you see that chariot over there? You need to go stand by that chariot. Well, what if Philip had taken the main thruway? What if Philip had gone on the road that was more traveled? What if Philip had chosen to do his own thing? He never would have ran into the chariot, which means he never would have heard the Spirit of God because he never would have been obedient. Guys, when God is asking you to do something, I want to encourage you to listen. Because what lay on the desert road, it was a divine appointment. And God is still looking to lead you to divine appointments today. He is to be a counsel, and the Holy Spirit is to be your guide, and God is still speaking. The real question comes down to this, are we listening? Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways submit to him, and what? He's going to make your path straight. Psalm 119:105, the word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. And the truth is this, is that when I look in the church sometimes, I see a lot of believers who are struggling and frustrated because they too feel lost. Why do they feel lost? They feel lost because they're not listening. You say, well,
I know the way that God wants me to travel. He tells me in the Word. Yes, He does. In general, He gives you a direction for your path, absolutely. But do you know that God is very specific and He has things for you to do tonight? He has things for you to do tomorrow? He has things for you to do on Friday? The problem is too often we don't take the time to listen. If Jesus Himself claimed to be the way, wouldn't it make sense that you would have an ear open to the one who knows the way? But the problem is so many aren't listening. We're not listening and seeking like we once did. And you know what? There is a power that is lost in that. You know, when I stopped this past month and I was on sabbatical, there's a point where I was just sitting under a bridge. And it was so good to stop and to listen to the Lord and just to call out to Him. And you know what? It was this beautiful moment for me. And it was under a beat-up old bridge. Trucks were going by. It was crazy. And I was sitting there thinking, Lord, here is this safe haven, and here You are. This isn't a church. It isn't a cathedral. I didn't know that I was going to stop under this bridge. But because I did, and I cried out to You, where are You? Here You are. The most beautiful moment of that day that God met with me. Why? Because I listened. Where is the place that you hide away to meet with God? Isaiah 40, 31 says, but those that wait upon the Lord would renew their strength. They will mount up with wings of eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. But too often we're not listening while God is still speaking. And God is not just speaking, but do you know that God can use different means to speak to you? So again, in the story that we read tonight, an angel speaks to Philip and tells him where to go, right? And while he is on the way and while he is being obedient, then all of a sudden God wants to speak to him again. I don't know if you've ever had an angel nudge you. Right? Or if you've ever had the Holy Spirit kind of push you in a direction. But let me tell you, if an angel showed up physically, because we are made less than. Now, we have a special place for God. There's this whole amazing hierarchy when you start to think of it. They say, some people say that the angels, I mean, they're so powerful, they could crush us tonight with a finger tip of thing, right? Like, that's how powerful they are. And yet, we have a special place in God's heart. So when you think back theologically, some say that's what drove Lucifer mad. That God was going to create this insignificant thing called human, and He would hope and tell the angels to serve us. Serve that? That little thing like Linda, serve it? Are you kidding me? And Lucifer was like, I don't want to serve Linda. Linda's small and tiny and puny. Morgan, serve Morgan, what? And God said, yeah, not only will you guys serve them, but God knew the bigger plan. He said, I'm going to serve. I'm going to wash their feet and die upon their cross. That's what drove Lucifer mad. But let me tell you, if an angel was to speak to you, it would get your attention. And I'm not talking about these cheesy pickup lines, right? Like when I was on the market, think about that. That's why I had to move away from Ontario. Too many women were trying to chase me down, right? And when I was on the market, I would get all those cheesy pickup lines, like girls would come up to me and bump into me and they go, oh, are your wings broken? And I go, what are you talking about? They said, because I've never seen an angel here on earth till tonight. And I'd go, I know, honey. The last four girls just told me that, right? But I think of that. This is not a cheesy pickup line. This was Philip being met by an angel of the Lord. And he says, you need to go south. But you need to go on the desert road. What if Philip had chosen to disobey? He would not have been in the right place and he would not have been in the right time. But because he obeyed, what happens? Then it says the Spirit of the Lord pushes him and says, hey, Philip, you need to go over to that chariot. You see, the problem with the people of God is far too often we assume how we want God to speak to us, don't we? So what do? We put God in a box. Well, God is not to be boxed. God can use His Word to speak to you. God can use your brothers and sisters to speak to you. God can use angels to speak to you. God, in the form of the Holy Spirit, can push you Himself. And here we see God speaking to Philip in different ways, but the problem is too often we want to see the big picture, don't we? God, do you want me to go to China? No. I need to know it all. And so you know what? God doesn't tell you part two because too often we don't listen to part one. How often is that true of our lives? Like, you know, you want me to sell everything I have, God? Why?
Well, I'm not going to tell you yet.
Well, why?
Because you'll panic.
But I need to know.
Sell everything.
God, I think I'm going to wait. But I look at this whole deal, guys, and too often we in the church fail to listen to point A, and therefore God never reveals point B to us, and sadly we are the ones who suffer. And because of our disobedience, the world are the others that suffer, because what if Philip hadn't listened? Well, then this big old bearded eunuch never would have found the Lord. You know, maybe Philip didn't feel like evangelism was his thing. Maybe he didn't want to talk to strangers. Maybe he got all frustrated inside and scared whenever God would want him to talk to people. So he said, just go to the road. Go to the road. Because he knew that if he told him any more than that, he may chicken out. But all of a sudden, he's on the road. And he doesn't even say, talk to the eunuch. He says, go stand by that chariot. And Philip's like, oh, man, there's a big bearded eunuch guy. He's going to eat me. But all of a sudden, he hears what he is reading. And because he took the first step, and because he took the second step, all of a sudden, this obedience led to the beauty of a conversation. And the eunuch was not scared. In fact, the eunuch was interested. You see, obedience is key. Jesus talks about it in John 14, in verse 15, when he says, if you love me, you're going to obey my commandments. You know, church, sometimes I believe that God is frustrated in directing us. Why? Because we don't listen well. We say, God, I wish that you would speak to me like by an angel. I wish that you would speak to me audibly. I wish that you would reveal things to me in dreams. And we're always looking for the supernatural things. And all the while, God may be saying something so simple in his word, but we refuse to listen. If we refuse to listen, why in the world would he ever continue to communicate in bigger and better ways? It's this idea of Isaiah where he says, I am your servant, Lord, send me, here I am. I'm listening. It doesn't say that Isaiah was the best equipped. It doesn't say that Isaiah was the best priest. It doesn't say that Isaiah had the best skills or that he could jam it on a guitar. It says that he was willing, here I am, your servant, send me, right? Oh, that we would listen. And here's the truth of it. People are still seeking a living God. Right? Again, was the eunuch scary? No. Was the eunuch confrontational? No. The eunuch was not shy about the question that came, do you understand what you're reading? The eunuch embraced the dialogue, and too often the world awaits the dialogue that would set them free. But the problem is you and I as believers, we're not listening. And we're not sharing our hope because we don't understand who we should share to because we're fearful that the culture says, don't stir the water. Guys, I am telling you that you need to stir and stir often in love, that you need to stir and stir often with wisdom, that you need to stir every water that God asks you to stir because he's waiting to use you. 1 Peter 3, verse 15, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So what does Philip do? He shares. And he gives this whole testimony of who Jesus is. And how is it received? It's received by, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And just like this past Sunday and the Sunday that's coming, Philip shared in this beautiful moment of saying, here is a person who was once lost but is now found. It's no longer their life. And so we go under the water, dead to self and raised to Christ. a beautiful moment that was on the other side of obedience. And here's the crazy thing. Like, we're talking about a supernatural story. Guess what? There's supernatural things that are waiting us today if we would only learn to obey. The story ends in a really crazy way. What is it? Well, all of a sudden, Philip is teleported. I don't know if you call it teleported. I don't know. The Star Trek would call it beamed away, right? He's transported in the spirit, whatever you want to call it. It's a freaky moment that the eunuch would never forget. You're talking to a feller, the feller's gone. That would freak most people out. Like, I'd be checking myself in, right, to ward number 4 in the Yarmouth Hospital saying, I think I'm seeing things. But you know what? It doesn't throw the eunuch at all. He had had a moment with God, and it was real. And so when the supernatural happens, what does it say? It says that he didn't see Philip again, but he went on his merry way. Wow. Can you imagine? Can you imagine supernatural things happening in your life? Well, I want to tell you that God awaits for you to listen. And God awaits for you to obey. Because God awaits to pour out his spirit on all of us. Acts 2:17 says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. The sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will have visions and your old men will dream dreams. You see, here's the truth. That if you are living in obedience to God, then you will experience supernatural things. Now, some of you, that freaks you out. And some of you say, no, Pastor, nope. Nope, God doesn't move like that today. I'd say he may not move like that in your life, but he moves like that in my life. Supernatural experiences lie on the other side of obedience. And my hope is this, is that that wouldn't scare you. Instead, that would excite you. And that you'd long to hear God in all of the ways that he is speaking and screaming to this world today. And that you would be found obedient on the other side of every message that he gives you. And supernatural freaky things would become a norm for you. He's still speaking. Do you long to hear? He's still speaking in many ways available to you today. But can you distinguish the voice of the Good Shepherd? Have you shared the story that God has given you lately? Have you been obedient to testify like those who were this last Sunday and those who are coming this Sunday? Because here's the deal. We should be living supernaturally in the days. And God believes in you, or you wouldn't have been chosen for this day. Do you get that? That freaks me out sometimes. Because I go, we're your prize? God, I don't get it. He believes in you for the last act. Think about that. The trumpet is being polished. If you don't believe that, then you need to read your Bible. Revelation, Matthew 25, 2 is another good place to start. Watch the news. And then you'll understand that time is short. And we are experiencing the last act of this thing called planet Earth. And for whatever reason, I can't tell you why, because I still don't know why I've been chosen. You and I have been chosen for this moment. Wow. He believes in you. And he believes in me, and the stakes could never be higher, but he believes in you, and he believes in me. Oh, that we would listen. Everybody bow your heads. God is waiting to use you in the story that he has given you. He's waiting to change this community, to change this world through the story that he has given you. That he's speaking, that he's asking you to do things. If only you would take the time to listen and to seek him, you would find. And there'd be times he'd be telling you to pull over and to stop and to help somebody on the side of the road or to go visit somebody over at the booth that's having coffee that looks a little down. And you say, well, I don't know what to say. It doesn't matter. If he doesn't tell you to say anything, you just simply go. And maybe you'll hear them talking, just like Philip heard the eunuch talking, and he was reading scripture, and he says, do you know what you're reading, man? Whew, am I ever glad you asked. Maybe God is going to tell you to go over and encourage somebody and say, look it, I couldn't help but notice that you look a little down. Would you mind if I prayed for you? Whew, I didn't think anybody would stop and ask. That the supernatural awaits us. But we got to be listening and we got to be obedient. You know what happens? Lives are changed. Lives are changed for eternity when we are listening and we are obedient. You know, maybe it's next week. Colleen's coming to be baptized. She's going to be obedient under the call of the Lord, and she's going to take this step and let the world know that she's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and her Savior. Maybe you've been here and you say, man, Andrew, I just can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. And here you are talking about my heart's pounding through my chest. That's because you're supposed to do it. I don't make your heart pound. The Holy Spirit makes your heart pound. Some of you, I'd like to make your heart stop, but he's not done with you apparently yet. Right? Aren't you glad I'm not God? But there's the reality, guys. Maybe some of you are going to say, hey, it's me. I got to go be baptized this week and invite my family and invite my neighbors and show to them that I'm unashamed of my Savior. Maybe you've been delaying. He's been telling you to love a neighbor for months. And you think it's weird. It doesn't matter what you think. If God has been telling you to love on your neighbor, then make them those muffins or offer to help to put in that wood. Do whatever he asks. Because on the other side of obedience is the supernatural. And you know what? Once you start to experience it, you'll want nothing less. Nothing less. Nothing less. For some of you here tonight, it's not about being obedient. It's about listening. It's about stopping the craziness that you live. It's about stopping the schedule that is killing you. And it's about taking a walk in the woods with your Savior. It's about locking yourself in a closet of prayer and listening. You say, Andrew, I'm scared of what he may ask. Good. You should be fearful. Fearful in awe. But once the adventure begins, let me tell you, you want nothing less than the roller coaster of God. What a rush. Will you live different? You want to better believe it, and you'll want it no other way than God's way. Let's pray. Father God, I want to say thank you for tonight. I want to say thank you for those who are here. Father God, I believe that you're talking to some. And Lord, I don't know if it's baptism yet. I don't know if it's just obedience. I don't know if it's just really setting aside time and priority to speak to you. And Father God, if that's what it is, then I pray that you would do it. So Father, I just want to say thank you for your love. I want to say thank you for your grace. I want to say thank you for Philip. I want to say thank you for him listening. I want to say thank you for the supernatural on the other side of obedience. And Father God, I pray that we would be found there too, your people. In Jesus' name, amen.